It is a Sunday morning. It is 7:09. I have a new dress on, a new summer dress. I love summer dresses. One of my favorite things. I'm Susie Jones, Josh Wheeler at the helm. It is our health hour. We're calling it head to toe. Josh, how are you?
I'm great. You look very festive.
Don't
very
I?
Very summery.
Thank
today.
You. Yes, I'm going to yes. a party after work.
Love it.
A
love
summer
it.
Party. And, you know, summer parties are kind of the thing. We had mm-hmm. 4th of July parties this weekend. Did you do anything fun?
I worked. I was here.
Can't really get into too yeah. much trouble when you work.
No,
hopefully.
No.
Hopefully. Well, this is the time of year where the potential for injury is great. We're out there. We're in the water. We're having campfires. We're grilling our dinner. All these things can cause injury if you're not mindful of what you're doing and when you're doing it and how you're doing it. So we've invited to the program this week Caitlin Hansen. She is Hennepin Healthcare's Trauma Prevention Coordinator. We've had Caitlin on before. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, we're good. We're just kind of talking about the weekend. Have you been having fun working? What's your weekend been like?
Oh, it's been good. I went up to my parents. They live on a lake, and so we did have a little 4th of July celebration, but back to work today with you guys.
All right. Thank you. We appreciate it. Well, you know, I was listening to Al Schock's news, and the first story he read was that kind of thankfully there was not any chaos and disaster in Minneapolis this weekend, which has been the case
yeah.
in other years. And I'm sure that's good to hear on your end, too. I mean, you don't. There have been some pretty bad injuries that have come out of some
Absolutely.
Of these shenanigans. So nice to hear it turned out relatively quiet this weekend.
I did have a little sigh of relief as well, yeah.
I bet you did. Because I'm sure at Hennepin Healthcare in the emergency department, you see those victims of people that have
yeah,
been
Yeah, we do, and we're the busiest emergency department in the state, so we see it frequently and often.
You are the busiest emergency department in the state of Minnesota. I guess that makes sense, doesn't it? You're the big,
yeah.
biggest. It wouldn't be Rochester or Duluth. But, well, let's kind of go through a typical scenario, you know, for summer and then sort of those injuries that maybe people don't even think about. But then when they get
right.
it, they're like, oh, my God, how did that happen? Should we start with water safety? Is that a good one?
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And I'm reading this. I did a little bit of background here. Every day, an average of 11 people die in the U.S. from unintentional drowning. And 1 in 5 are children, 14 or younger. That's according mm-hmm. to the CDC. And, you know, I just think in the summer, like next week, our family is going to a resort in Nisswa for 7 days. And we have a lot of 3-year-olds, 2-year-olds, and 1-year-olds. And it's that
yeah.
kind of thing where you think, well, isn't so-and-so watching the little people? And then you get into trouble. So kind of talk about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that was going to be my very first tip. So you've got all of these kids, and typically all these parents or all these guardians also around, and we're all watching, but no one's truly watching, right? We're all talking in a group in the corner. So typically what we try to educate families on is having someone called a water watcher. So we give out little badges for this, but really it can be, they don't have to have anything, or it's just one person who's designated for, you know, 5 to 10 minutes, and they step away from the adult group and truly are eyes on, like a lifeguard would be watching them, and then come back to the group. You rotate so you don't get that, you know, fatigue of supervising, and you just kind of continuing rotate, that who's supervising the however many children it is, right? But, yeah.
I like that idea. And I also was going to say that even though you might seem like a dork because someone might, no, I'm just saying that if I go to my week up north and I see
yeah.
someone with the kids, I'm going to say, okay, I'm leaving now. You're the water watcher. And
right.
they have to go, what? Like, what's a water watcher? But really, I do think to have a designated person and to say it out loud sort of brings the message home, doesn't it?
Exactly. And let's be honest, none of us want to be in the hospital, and we truthfully do not want you at Hennepin Healthcare, right? Like, we don't want to see you at our hospital. We don't want you your life changed because of an accident or an injury. So it's truly better safe than sorry. I think the other thing that's kind of a newer idea too is what we wear in the water. So we're always wearing a life jacket, but what's the color of our swimsuit comparatively to the type of water you're swimming in? So there's tons of new images out, and on our social media, we have this photo where some swimsuit colors show up brighter in lake water and some swimsuit colors show up brighter in pool water. And so it's not the same color in each water either, which is really interesting.
So you should wear a color that stands out?
Exactly. Then you're easier to be seen if you need to be seen for an emergency situation. For example, like a blue color isn't going to show up very great in the pool water. Something red isn't going to show up necessarily great, or orange isn't going to show up great in the lake water. So it's just a little bit different coloring. We've got it on our social media page if you look under our Facebook photos. So just tons of, or you can even Google it, honestly.
But
that's a new kind of trend that's coming out, is to look at the color of the swimsuit that you or your children are wearing comparatively to the color of the water that you'll be in.
So let's talk about this, about drowning. I've heard it said it's fast and silent, which is terrifying because you'd think that someone would be screaming that they're going under. Talk about drowning and what people need to know about that, particularly with a little kid.
Absolutely. It is fast and it is silent. So, and think about, there's not the yelling because you're so focused on being able to get a breath in. So what you can kind of see for is that shocked or kind of glassy look on people's face. And I think kind of the big tell-all as well is if someone's looking like they're climbing a ladder in water, right? Like they are reaching up with their arms rather than having their arms out and their head nice above water. Those are kind of telltale signs that, oh my gosh, they're starting to go under because they're trying to climb up as much as they can out of that water.
And how long does it take to actually drown? Is there a number? I mean, I can't remember.
So, I mean, to drown in terms of just to get underwater, it's going to be different for each person and different in terms of how strong of a swimmer you are. But it truly, you can go under. Like if you get a leg cramp and you're a strong swimmer, you can go under in a matter of a couple of seconds. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it varies as well.
But. And if you're under, you know, you always hear like how long they're under and the likelihood of surviving. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so what we worry about in that sense is more so how long your brain has not had oxygen then. And we actually call it an anoxic brain injury, or a brain injury where your brain has been deprived of oxygen. And so it truly is a brain injury of all areas in your brain versus if you only hit your head, maybe you only have a brain injury in one specific portion of your brain. So they can be a very devastating injury when you have that type of brain injury.
Yeah, and life-changing. Is that the kind of brain injury, just generally speaking, not to get too deep into one area, but I know there's an incredible brain trauma center at Hennepin Healthcare.
Absolutely.
Is that the kind of a brain injury a person can come back from, or is that one of the harder ones?
It is. People can come back, and there's stories of people coming back from all types of brain injuries. You definitely can come back from that one. It is truly dependent on the severity. What I say is, and a lot of our providers will tell you, is no matter the severity, mild, you know, all the way up to severe, your life will truly be changed in some way or another, no matter what. So, you know, you're never going to come back truly the exact same person, even if it's just from like the emotional trauma perspective. People do come back, and some people have, you know, quote unquote normal lives. But some people are truly changed forever.
Yeah. We are talking to Caitlin Hansen, Hennepin Healthcare's Trauma Prevention Coordinator, about summer and all the fun that we can have, but all the potential dangerous situations we can find ourselves in. Want to invite you to the program at 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226. If you want to jump in, we're going to continue talking about other areas besides water where you can get into trouble right after this short break on News Talk 830-WCCO. And we are back. It is 7:22 on a Sunday morning, a beautiful day outside. I don't know if you've been out yet. My temperature on my car said 70, which is so pleasant, isn't it? I love opening the windows. It's my favorite thing. I tried doing it yesterday in the humidity. I thought, I'm going to try the fresh air. About 10 seconds in, I'm like, nope, I'm turning the air back on. So we're talking about the summer and the annoyances and the dangers of summer. And we have Caitlin Hansen. She is Hennepin Healthcare's Trauma Prevention Coordinator, kind of going through the different parts of summer where you can get into trouble and maybe some really good ideas. So far, I'm hearing about swimsuit colors as a way to make sure you can keep your eye on the little ones, having a water watcher, and then what to look for if a young person is drowning or having trouble in the water, looking like they're climbing a ladder. I just think that's fascinating. Good stuff as you head out this summer, because we still have a lot of summer left, right, Caitlin? There's a lot of opportunity for fun and other stuff.
Absolutely. And we live for summer here in Minnesota, so you know we're going to enjoy it.
Yes, right? The minute it gets warm, we're like, go. Before we move on from water, though, there is a place in Minneapolis at the lake, I think. Could be Lake of the Isles, I'm not sure, but where the kids jump off a bridge. I don't want to tell people about it. They'll go try to do it. But
Let's not promote it.
But really the idea of diving in headfirst wherever you are that you are not familiar with. Kind of talk about that.
So, you know, we all hear about the don't dive in the pool when it says no diving because, you know, the depth and then spinal cord injuries, right? But when you're talking about a lake or you're talking about some of these, especially a river where there's that moving water and it can bring debris in, you really don't know what's underneath there. And so you may think, you know, it's a 20-foot deep or it's however far deep, but maybe a huge log has been brought in, right, or something else of that nature. And you dive head first in or you jump in even and you get caught or snagged or you do hit your head and then you're stuck underwater or you can't get yourself up and you're knocked out. So that's some other ways that people can get in real trouble.
Right, exactly. And that is important for everyone as they get ready to jump in water, particularly when it's so hot. Sometimes you're not thinking, you know what I mean? Let's move on and talk about camping, because a lot of people in Minnesota love to camp, would you say?
Oh, me too.
Are you a camper?
I love it, yeah.
That's awesome. Well, a lot of people are. And there are some camping safety ideas as well that you should pack along with your clothes and your bug spray. You know, what's one thing you think campers sort of forget to bring?
Well, one interesting thing, and we kind of teach this class every single month over at Hennepin Healthcare, and it's called a Stop the Bleed class. It's really a class where people learn to spot a severe bleeding event and then the steps to take truly to save a life. So there's many applications to do this or many ways to put this in place. But when you're thinking about camping, typically we're in a more remote area. Usually maybe you're hiking or you're doing some other things and you could, you know, potentially, hopefully not, but like break a leg and then you have, you know, a really severe injury where you're bleeding on top of that or you get a really severe cut. And it's really just these steps that the public can then take and think of it almost like emergency first aid. So that is one thing that I truly recommend. It's a free class. And not only Hennepin Health offers it, but other places throughout the states and throughout the nation, really. So if you're interested in that, it's at stopthebleed.org. You can find classes.
What is that? I mean, I'm just going to jump in.
So if there is a deep wound,
you know, what is a first thing to do if it's bleeding? You hear about tourniquets and things of that
exactly.
nature.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is what we're talking about. So the very first thing is always going to be call 911. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because you only have minutes before, if it is a true severe bleeding event, we only have minutes before that person is going to bleed out. And you need someone with trained medical experience to help you. And that clock of them getting there doesn't start until you call 911. So you could do everything in the world, right? But if you don't call anybody, nobody's coming to help you. So first and foremost, you need to call 911. And then from there, you know, we teach people about adding pressure. So think about if you know how to do CPR, you're putting all of your pressure onto that person. Very similar is what we're going to do here. And if that doesn't stop the bleeding, then what we do is move on to teaching them how to pack and then how to apply a tourniquet if need be.
And how long, I mean, you don't have a lot of time, do you, if someone has a deep gash and it's bleeding a
lot?
You
don't, yeah. And it really depends on where that is located. And the time to bleed out can vary, but we say an average of 7 minutes. And then when we're in the metro, so if there's an emergency unit, you come up on a car crash and this is happening, our EMS, and they can usually get to anywhere within 7 minutes. But if you're in a more remote area, like we did some of this training up in Grand Marais this winter, it can take them 45 or an hour just to get to the location. Mm-hmm. And then from there to get them back and to transport can take even longer, right? So time is so precious out there.
Yeah, exactly, right. So I was going to bring this up, dehydration. So I, while ago, went to Grand Canyon and we hiked down into the canyon. And I was, of course, morbid, as I always am. Like, how many people die in the Grand Canyon? Like, because I love knowing things that are sick. Anyway, the person said that the group that has the most trouble are guys in their 40s because they think they can go down to the bottom of the canyon and then back up in one day.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
And so dehydration, heat exhaustion, but dehydration is a big thing, isn't it? I think we forget to drink water.
Yes, we forget to drink water, absolutely, and drink enough water, especially, you know, the days we've just had or when we are celebrating, potentially people are drinking something that isn't water, right? And then you're just being more dehydrated. So absolutely, we need so much water. Some people say a gallon a day at some points, but
it's, wow, it's a lot of water.
Yeah. It's a lot of water, guys.
But instead, you know, like I drink too much Diet Coke, and that doesn't really count, does it, as hydration?
No. No, it doesn't totally count. It's better than some other options for sure, but, you know, water is going to be your best for sure.
So that's interesting. There are different levels of hydration beverages that people drink. What's the worst? Is it coffee or alcohol?
You know,
I wonder.
I couldn't even tell you. I don't even know.
Isn't that interesting?
That up too,
yeah. We can look it up and see what the least hydrating form of a beverage is.
Absolutely.
All right.
Otherwise, when I'm thinking about camping, I mean, I always think about our campfires that we have.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Forget it.
Yeah.
That's
and
a big one.
We see a lot of burn injuries from campfires and not so much, you know, sometimes it's from putting accelerants like gasoline or something to start the fire. But also people tripping into the fire pit. So we talk about having a ring of safety. It's like 3 feet around where the ring or the pit is. And then also if you talk about putting out the fire, we want to make sure that you're aware of these fires, even though, you know, their coals aren't going, the embers aren't, you know, burning red, they're still hot for up to 24 hours afterwards. So even when you're coming up to a new campsite, don't feel like you can go and touch the ring or, you know, touch or move around those embers. They can be extremely hot and cause severe burns.
Right. And that's, again, a really hard one when you're in the middle of nowhere, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
And when you have a trip that you're going and you know that it's going to be rural or in the middle of nowhere, and you're talking about maybe the possibility of an accident like a burn, is there something you bring for a burn that helps prevent more damage? Yeah.
Well, I always recommend, like, whenever you're going to go on a trip, you know, we want to make sure that we have some type of first aid to address something if something does happen and some training and understanding. But also what we tell everyone is that when you have a burn, whether it's on a camping trip or at home or whatever it may be, run cool, not cold, but cool water over that burn and try to remove any of the clothing or, you know, if it's a small child, remove the diaper from that. Once you've done that, wrap it in a dry, clean bandage and then get to, you know, the hospital or some type of medical care as fast as you can.
Very good. We are going to take our bottom of the hour break. It is 7:32 on a Sunday morning. I'm Susie Jones, Josh Wheeler. Why did I say his? I always say he's at the helm.
I am
so
at
I
the
mix
helm,
it
yes,
up.
Yes.
He's steering the ship. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. If you have questions or comments, maybe something happened in your life you want to share or you have a question, our phone number is 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226. We're back right after this. And we are back. It is 7:36 on a Sunday morning, a beautiful Sunday morning. I think you can safely open your windows today and enjoy the fresh air as you enjoy life outside in Minnesota. We don't get a lot of time outside. At least some folks love the winter, but a lot of folks stay inside. We're talking about being safe this summer, and we've just gotten through 4th of July, and with the weren't a lot of major issues in the Twin Cities, which was good. But that doesn't mean we're not done with summer. We have a lot of summer left. We want to make sure that we invite you to the program. If you have a thought, if you have maybe something happened to you, love to hear you. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Once again, we have Hennepin Healthcare's Trauma Prevention Coordinator, Caitlin Hansen, with us on our John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We're talking about being safe. And a texter wrote in just a bit ago, alcohol, alcohol, alcohol. How big of a deal is alcohol use? How big of a contributor to accidents is alcohol?
Oh, huge. I mean, so if we think about what alcohol does, right, you know, reduces our inhibitions, we don't think as clearly. Obviously, we can't function, especially if you're getting so inebriated to the point where we can't control our bodies. Mm. So depending specifically on what you're doing, too, you're just at the more you drink, you're at a higher and higher risk for injuries. Mm. I mean, I think most people who've drank have even just kind of tripped and fallen, right? Mm. When you typically normally wouldn't. So then if you put yourself behind a car, which we should never do, if you decide to jump in a lake when you're drunk, think about how much harder that is to swim. There's just so much that, or even, you know, operate fireworks or try to, you know, control a fire in general. It's not a great combination.
Mm-hmm. And yet it is a factor in so much that goes haywire, mm-hmm. right? Right.
Absolutely.
A texter writes, I listen to a podcast on hydration. The only beverage that does not hydrate is alcohol. Caffeinated beverages do hydrate to some extent. Okay.
I was thinking that was the case, but I wasn't, you know, that's not 100%. My expertise, so well, I didn't want to yell it out there.
We love our texters. We love our listeners. 651-461-9226. Maybe you want to call, too. Good morning. The texter writes, wondering, when you say put a dry bandage on a burn, why a dry bandage? It seems that would stick to the burn. Can you kind of explain your rationale there?
Yeah, and I truly think, you know, our burn surgeons and nurses would do a better job of this, so I don't want to get too deep into, healing of it and things, but that is their recommendation, and it truly is just to keep it
clean,
covered, right?
Yeah.
You want to keep it clean, especially, think about this, when you have a burn at that point, it is a huge open wound. We want to keep it clean as you're transferring to then get medical care. From there, you know, they can assess it. They can do whatever they need to do in order to make it heal, depending on the severity of that burn. And maybe at that point, it will be something that has an ointment and then they wrap it, right? But the idea is when we have something of a severe burn at that point, and if you were to put, you know, like a Vaseline or an Aquaphor, there's an oil in that can make the burn worse and cause your burn to increase with the heat that's kind of already there, so we don't want anything else put on it at that point. They can remove that bandage for sure, but clean, dry bandage, just get it covered and then get medical care.
All right, very good. 651-461-9226. We're talking to Caitlin Hansen with Hennepin Healthcare. We're talking about preventing injuries, preventing problems, I should say, during the summer months.
keeping your summer fun, let's say that.
Let's just call it that. Well, you know, I have to bring this up, and maybe this is in your scope, maybe not, but again, I'm always thinking of myself because I'm the most important person to me. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, going up north, I asked someone, a friend was just back, and I said, how bad are the mosquitoes? And she's like, they're bad. But anyway, I mean, obviously, I think being alive 62 years, when it rains, there are going to be more mosquitoes. So ticks, mosquitoes, sort of what is your thought on that part of the summer safety story?
Yeah, I mean, so then we get into more like disease-borne, you know, transmission when we talk about kind of some of the bites and things that can happen from these insects.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely don't want to be bitten by them. They're also just annoying. And I personally do not love ticks. I just get grossed out by them. So trying to, you know, repel them as best you can, whether that's using some type of, I know sometimes people wash their clothes and things, certain repellents, or sometimes they use sprays, whatever it may be. But definitely from the tick side of things, checking yourself over as much as you can, because, you know, there are diseases that a lot of these ticks carry, and we do not want to, you know, have a lifelong illness because of that.
Right, right. And it's probably a good idea to, at the end of the day, do a tick check.
Yeah, do a tick check on yourself. And then if you have a dog as well, I know I give my dog medicine, so if one bites her, you know, she's fine. But it doesn't mean that tick can't crawl off of her and then crawl onto me, especially if you're sharing a tent and you're camping, right?
Right.
So checking out over your pets as well.
You know, mention pets. I mean, that, I know we're talking about humans, but that really is another part of summer and the heat and what we tend to sort of forget about our four-legged friends and go, well, they're fine. But they can be affected just as much as we can, right?
They can be. And I think kind of that caveat and kind of a good step, too, is talking about heat in a car, right? So a lot of times maybe our pets and then even children, right?
Yeah,
so in some cases, people keep children in a car. You know, I'm just going to run into the car or into the store really quickly.
Yeah.
Not realizing how hot it can truly get in into that car. And there's been great research that's done. And, you know, if it's 80 degrees outside, it can be 120 or more inside that car in just a short few minutes. So really, even if the windows are down, never keeping a pet or a child, anyone in that car, unless you have that car on and the AC is going.
Yeah. That is interesting because I was just reading from American Red Cross as we're talking that animals can suffer heat stroke. Dogs with short noses or snouts like the boxer or bulldog are particularly prone to heat stroke.
Interesting.
Along with overweight pets, thick fur, obviously, and it can have if it has a respiratory problem, like, I can't say this, a collapsing trachea. So that is really interesting
how
badly it can affect a dog. Yeah, because I do think people don't think about, you know, they it's easy to sort of just get lost in what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I have that thought yesterday, too. You know, I'm driving home. I need to stop at the store real quick. And I was like, oh, it's, you know, 75. It's going to be about 80 when I get to the store. I better not, you know, just leave her in the car and run in quick because it'll get pretty hot quickly. I'll just drop her off and then run back.
Yeah. Even though it's you think, oh, it'll be fine. Best to err on the side of caution.
Yep. Nope. Pets getting left in the car, and definitely, definitely never leave your children in the car as well.
All right. We're going to take our final break of the hour. It is 7:45 on News Talk 830 WCCO. I'm Susie Jones. Our guest this hour, Caitlin Hansen. She is the Hennepin Healthcare Trauma Prevention Coordinator. And we've got time if you want to jump in. Appreciate people being part of the show. I know I've sort of driven a lot of it, so I'm sorry if I've taken over the show. 651-461-9226. We are talking about summer safety. Maybe you have a tip or a suggestion that we missed talking about. 651-461-9226. We're back right after this. It is 10 minutes before 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I'm Susie Jones, your host, each and every Sunday morning at this time. Josh Wheeler is the producer of the show. I'm the host, and we have a guest. And our guest this week is Caitlin Hansen with Hennepin Healthcare. She is the trauma prevention coordinator, and it's all about trauma prevention. And we got a text question at 651-461-9226. Susie, with heat exhaustion, they used to give salt pills. Is that still valid?
So I'm not going to recommend, like, oh, if you're feeling this, take it, because that's not my role. However, I can tell you that, you know, when we sweat, we also expel salt. So a lot of times what, you know, if you're working out really hard, or I remember when I was a college athlete and we were playing down in Miami, they would give us salt pills because you also need to replenish that salt in order to hold on to the water that you're drinking. So yeah, there definitely is a need for salt in your diet and your system. But yeah, I'm not going to say, yes, go out and take the salt pills, because that's definitely not the role. And there's reason and there's a time and a place for that that I can't give you.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for that text question, 651-461-9226. We're going to talk about car seats. I know it's not exactly heat related, but there's a new law that went into effect not long ago. Talk about, boy, I bet a lot of people don't get car seats correct, do they?
It's, well, they're so tough. So I don't want to say, like, oh, you know, they're easy, we should all get them perfect, because there's a lot out there. They're all put in a little bit differently, and they're kind of bulky too, right? They're heavy, so they're hard to install, but they're so, so necessary. And with our new law, what the really, really big change was, is that booster seats are now required. Previously, you know, they really were recommended, and they're recommended up to a certain kind of age and height, but now it's, you know, required up to a certain age, and you need to really kind of be a certain height and weight out of that booster seat in order to stop wearing the booster seat.
Okay, very good. I know a lot of people think at some age it's okay to go ahead and just let them sit regular, but, you know.
And it's not, because if we think about a seatbelt, right, they're meant for you and me. We're adults, you know, they hit us in the right areas, right in our shoulder, they hit us on our hips. When we've got children, right, they're not the same size as us, so they might hit them in their neck, and if there was an injury, that's more soft. Excuse me, if there's a car accident, that's more soft tissue on the neck, and in the abdomen is the other area where that seatbelt's going to hit them. So they're going to get more serious injuries from the seatbelt. When that booster seat does is it literally lifts them up so that seatbelt hits them in the correct areas. So if you have like a 9-year-old, right, that's the age that everybody thinks that, oh, I don't need a booster seat anymore. You take 5 9-year-olds, they're all very, very different heights, right?
Yeah.
You can have a very, very tall 9-year-old. You can have a very, very short 9-year-old. And truly what we need is the height and the weight aspect to get out of that booster seat.
So you need to know that.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, measure your kids, see how much they weigh, get them in the chair, make sure it fits them properly. Right.
Exactly.
Right. Good.
And
good.
Yeah, and the good place to look is the National Highway Traffic Safety Council will have all this, but also on the side of your booster seat, it'll tell you, use this booster seat up until X weight, and then you usually can be fine.
651-461-9226 got a text question, kind of reiterating, we did talk about it, but it's always important to repeat, this time of year we need to be aware of hot cars for children and pets. Thank you for reiterating that. You know, we were talking about being out in the sun, sunburns, and, you know, sunscreen. You know, when we were little, when I was little, I got burned so bad. One time we went to Mexico when I was about 8, you know, the blistering, the peeling, that was a thing back in the day. And now, you know, such great steps are taken to protect our kids. How important is that?
Oh, huge, right? And I think not only in terms of the burn itself, because you can get really severe burns like you're talking about. You were peeling and you were blistering. That's a pretty severe burn, and not just a sunburn, like you were burned. But then when we talk about the implications down the line, right, every burn, especially severe burns like that, you are, you know, more and more likely to develop some type of skin cancer. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, you were talking and you said it perfectly, you know, that used to happen all the time. Well, we didn't have the knowledge that we have now, right? And we didn't have the, you know, the technology that we have now. So really we need the sunblock. We need to, you know, to not have these burns. We don't want to be burning out in the sun, because none of us want to have skin cancer either.
No, that's true. And you know, to follow up on that, we do need to make sure, and I hate doing this because I was burned so much, and I like to not know things, but it's important to go get your skin checked as well.
Yeah.
We have about
sometimes
a minute.
Ignorance is bliss, but yeah.
Yeah. We have about a minute left. Anything you want to say sort of finally about all of which we have spoken of the last hour?
Absolutely. I mean, there's tons and tons of fun that we can get into in the summer. But there's also a lot of potential for risk for injury. And really, we just want to keep you out of our hospital. So I think, you know, common sense is always a great starting point, starting there. But also, there's tons of tips and tricks on our healthcare, or excuse me, our Hennepin Healthcare social media pages to keep you and your family safe.
Is it hennepinhealthcare.com or .org?
So we have our Hennepin Healthcare social media, and it's Hennepin Healthcare Trauma Prevention Program is actually going to be the one with all the tips and tricks.
Great. Thank you so much, Caitlin, for coming on this holiday weekend. Appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.